Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. Well, when it comes to eating, I can't say it's my preferred way to pick out a meal, but it certainly does suit your tastes, doesn't it? There's a place down the street from us for many years, a little Mexican place that had a buffet, a brunch buffet. On Sunday mornings, we would go there after church, and for $11, you could pretty much pick what you wanted from a great variety of things. You could go all Mexican, you could have bacon and eggs, you could have sausage. Your choice, whatever you wanted. And you could put it together any way you wanted it to go, and you could have as little or as much of anything you wanted that was offered. Now, that's a great way to eat if you like it. Is it a way to construct a system of religious beliefs? Does it make any sense? Joining us on this Tuesday afternoon to talk about religious pluralism, and it is a buffet out there, folks, and it's longer than anything you'll find in Las Vegas or on a cruise ship. It's a spiritual buffet of beliefs out there, and there are so many bellied up to the buffet with their plates ready to pile them high with a little of this and a little of that. Pastor Bill Swirla is our guest, pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California, co-host of the weekly internet radio show called The God Whisperers, and author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Believe It Your Way. Bill, welcome back.
Good to be back, Todd. Buffet, you think that's a good way to eat?
Well, I said if you like it.
A buffet is the food as an orgy is the sex, I think. How can I express this? And hey, you're not on the air anymore, so I can say anything I want. This isn't public broadcasting. But, you know, the thing about a buffet is that it doesn't respect the food. It's just miles and miles and miles of food. And as you said, you put it together your way. You blend, you concoct, and you go for your favorites. You know, you go for the stuff that you really like, even though you know you shouldn't really be eating like tons of it, but you do anyway. You just pile it really high. But you mentioned Mexican. You know, there's no respect for the culture, the spices, the history of where that food came from. It's just piled right next to the prime beef and the spaghetti with meatballs. Kind of like religion, isn't it? That's kind of what's happened in the religious world. It's just all piled together and shaken together and then blended into sort of a generic spirituality where we invoke some God.
You write rather at length about, you know, warning against this kind of buffet of beliefs, but are you calling for a spiritual, a theological, ideological isolationism on the part of believing Christians?
Oh, no. Of course not. I mean, you know, that's the difference between being somebody who truly loves food and a food snob. You know, a food snob won't be seen in the same room with this, you know, something that just doesn't meet their standards. You know, Jesus sent his church, his disciples, his apostles into the world. They are to be, in his words, in the world and yet not of the world. And I think this world that we live in today requires a much more savvy sort of believer than probably ever before. Although I shouldn't be so centered on our century too. The Apostle Paul was terribly, terribly aware of and educated in the beliefs of his day as well. So, and his was very somewhat similar to ours in terms of pluralism. But we live in a very pluralistic age where we can't afford to stick our head in the sand and be completely unaware of what is out there in the marketplace of religion. On the other hand, we can't be indiscriminating and undiscerning and just simply take up everything as though it were all the same sort of thing. It had all the same, if you will, nutritive value, spiritual value, as if we're all true. So I think the age in which we live in requires the opposite of that, not an isolationism, but a much more knowledgeable kind of believer that is aware of the beliefs that are out there. We live in a pluralistic society here in America. Virtually every belief that's ever existed in the history of humanity is represented in some form among us and is available to us on the internet or books or television and whatnot. And so I think we have to really engage in a new level of discernment and awareness, but at the same time, just not hitch our wagon to every belief that comes along or every new spirituality or every new expression of belief that comes along. And I think that's where the danger is that we've somehow gotten this notion that we can pick and choose a little bit of this and a little bit of that and somehow put together something that's right for us, which is very Buddhist, really, but I think that there's a danger when Christians adopt that worldview, because we're going to begin to bring things in that just don't honor Christ and have Christ central.
One thing I've noticed of the people who will make their way down the spiritual buffet of beliefs and they assemble their plates, when they get to the cash register, it kind of all looks the same. What are some of the lowest common denominators that emerge at the end of a spiritual buffet?
That's a great way of putting it. At the end of the line, it's just a generic pile of food. And you're right. The problem is that things tend to devolve into a least common denominator. I think one of the key things is individualism or subjectivism, because that's what drives it. It's what I like. You know, I like the fried chicken here, or I like the roast beef, so I'm going to pile a lot of that on. But what happens is it becomes this kind of general appeal to the human emotion, to the subjective side of it, this feeling that I'm in touch with God, or this feeling that I have inner peace within myself, or something like that. Or motivation to be successful in life, to do good for others, to be kind to small animals. Whatever the thing is, there's a kind of an idea that we draw from our religions energy to be all that we can be, without joining the Army, Air Force, or, you know, Navy or Marines, that kind of thing. And so it becomes a kind of a quest for self-improvement. But you have to watch that it's that self prefix that's hyphenated to everything that really drives this. It's self-actualization, self-improvement, self-fulfillment, self-this and self-that. And so we're kind of using a kind of a God technology. And that's really what all of this kind of devolves into after a while. It either some sort of religious entertainment, which is really inspirational, and it maybe gives us a break from the pressures of our life, or it gives us energy to pursue whatever we want to pursue, or motivation or something like that, but it's very self-oriented. And I think that's where all the plates kind of look the same at the end. It's all about me.
So a couple things here. It sounds like along with that individualism comes perhaps an unexpressed, sometimes it is, belief that there really is no there's nothing that's objectively true. There's only preference, and if preference rules the day, then why don't I use the buffet to pick out my spiritual beliefs?
Yeah, see, that's the kind of the poison pill in all of this, is that just as not all foods, you know, all foods may be kind of good, but they're not all equally good for you. And that knowing a bit of nutrition might shape how you put that plate together, or might shape basically your menu, your diet. So also, without any objective standards, without any kind of thing outside of ourselves that tells us what's good for us and what is not good for us, spiritually speaking, we're going to kind of run amok and pick and choose and maybe even go in all the wrong directions. And historically, that's why most religions in general, well, and I shouldn't say most religions, I mean, certainly Judaism, the Old Testament faith, not quite Judaism, but you know, similar there, but let's confine it to the Bible. The Old Testament, you know, it had standards. You know, God was God, the other gods were not God. You know, it's kind of pretty basic and simple, but there were things about God, too. There was covenant. There were things that God, who he is, and what he does, and who his people are, and what they do. So likewise, also in the New Testament, the church has its standards, its creeds, its confessions, things like that. And that provides you a kind of, if nothing else, a guideline to what is helpful and what is not. And, you know, in our circles, in Lutheran circles, I think it comes down to Christ at center. That is putting Jesus Christ at the center of things kind of changes the way you look at that buffet table. Because the real question is, first, what does it have to do with Jesus, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his work of salvation, that is our justification on his account? And then secondly, can we say or do any of this stuff? Had Jesus never become man, had the Son of God never become man, suffer, die, and rise again? And so we have this. We have a kind of standard that you can apply there, and that kind of frees us from ourselves, what I like and what I don't like, and begins to kind of shape how we see ourselves, sinners, with a very serious condition, a deadly condition, an eternally damnable condition, from which we must be rescued outside of ourselves, and a salvation that is wholly accomplished for us outside of ourselves, in the Son of God, incarnate, crucified, and risen. And from that, you kind of look around and you say, well, some of this stuff just doesn't fit. You know, the stuff that drives me inward, the stuff that has me looking into the deep inner recesses of my heart, my soul, my whatever, my mind, is running in the opposite direction from getting my eyes fixed on Jesus and getting my faith fixed on Jesus, who is the one who can rescue me, yes, even from myself.
Pastor Bill Swirl is our guest. Another half hour with him on the other side of this break. It's Tuesday afternoon, the 5th of June. We are coming to you live. Feel free to join us with questions or comments, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at @issuesetc. Pastor Bill Swirl is pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church, Hacienda Heights, California, co-host of the weekly internet radio show called The God Whispers, author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Believe It Your Way. Now, there are things that we will naturally never pick off the buffet, things that are essential to Christian belief, so it can't be left up to our preference. We'll talk about that after this. But occasionally, I want to talk about me. I want to talk about me. We talk about your dreams and we talk about your schemes, your high school team and your moisturizer cream. Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry. And we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
The latest Issues Etc. journal contains a confession. It's about my problem with the commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also details Pastor Will Wheaton's journey on the Wittenberg Trail. Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal today, issuesetc.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Breaking the law to kill girls.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Sex selection abortions are supposed to be illegal in India, However, a recent Times of India article shows that the practice continues. The article focused on a 36-year-old woman who had 6 abortions because each time she was carrying a female child. Her husband and his family insisted she have a son. The deaths of these 6 unborn healthy girls were made possible by doctors who illegally provided her with ultrasounds without reporting those ultrasounds to the government. Fortunately, the woman in question informed the police, who in turn arrested the doctors.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about religious pluralism with Pastor Bill Swirla on this Tuesday afternoon, June the 5th. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for June is called Ordering Our Days in His Peace. It's written by a regular guest here on the program, Pastor Heath Curtis. We often have him on to talk about the seasons of the church year or festival days in the church year, because the church marks time in a way that is informed by the Word of God and informed by the church's place in this world to preach Christ and repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name. So the church's clock is set different than that of the world. We call it the church year, the liturgical year, and our Issues Etc. book of the month for June walks through that year, an introduction to the church year, and explains the rhyme and the reason of it and why it still serves the church and the world that the church is called into very, very well. It's the Issues Etc. book of the month for June, Ordering Our Days in His Peace. You can order it from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. You'll find Ordering Our Days in His Peace on every page of our webpage, issuesetc.org. Let's go back to the beginning, if we could, Bill, and talk about how this buffet style of beliefs really started, as you say, in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah, you have to, when you look at Genesis chapter 3, the first thing that sticks out at you is how Adam and Eve are isolated. And I think the isolation is key. You know, the first thing the devil does is he isolates Eve from Adam. So in effect, in my mind, when I read that, I imagine the devil kind of standing between Adam and Eve. And so he addresses her, and he basically tricks her into making a subjective decision. You know, it starts with a bad question. Did God really say you can't eat of any tree of the garden? You know, but when you look at how she rationalizes the move, it's she sees that the fruit is pretty, you know, it smells good, it tastes good, it's a delight, it's good for food, and it can make you wise. So, hey, what could be so wrong with that? See? And then secondly, then Adam and Eve come together in this disobedience, and they're isolated from God. So now you have everybody isolated from everybody, and they go and hide, and they have to cover themselves up because now they're self-aware. You know, this thing that they realize they're naked. You don't realize your nakedness unless you're looking at yourself, and so it's their self-awareness becomes part of the problem, and they have to cover themselves, and so the story goes on from there. But the key move there is one of isolation. I think the same is true, of course, in our own spiritual lives as well. If the devil is like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, or like a wolf looking to get one of the sheep, the easiest ones to pick are the ones isolated from the herd. And so it's the isolated believer. You know, and that's kind of the first move, is get people away from the community. Get people away from the community gifts. You know, the preached word, the sacrament. In fact, I this may sound a bit provocative, but I think one of the greatest devil's tools there is an isolated Christian in his or her own easy chair with a Bible. Very, very dangerous, apart from the community of believers, because you have somebody now who is free to roam the buffet of religions now and see what appeals to that person.
And they might even be with Bible open in their lap, picking and choosing from what they believe the Bible. They might even regard the Bible as a buffet of beliefs where they could take and
Absolutely.
choose.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, let's face it, we all do that left to our own devices, because let's be honest with ourselves, that the law and the gospel, you know, the revelation of our utterly sinful condition and our helplessness under that condition, and of our salvation completely outside of ourselves, and the cure essentially being to die and rise in Jesus, that's the Brussels sprouts of the buffet of religion. That's the stuff everybody passes over on the way to the pizza and the dessert. And so, you know, or it, at best, let's put a few on the plate and let them roll around a little bit because we know it's good for you. But certainly not. We're not going to be piling that stuff too high on our own. And that's really the problem. It does not appeal to the palate of the old Adam to hear that he must die.
Let's go through a few of the things the old Adam will never pick off the buffet. I mean, the things that are, in fact, essential to the Christian faith that may be there on the buffet. The old Adam's going to walk. You mentioned one, and that is, you know,
you've got to die. The law.
You've got to die. The law. What are some other things that the old Adam finds impalatable and will never choose?
Well, you know, I mean, let's deal with some obvious ones. First of all, unconditional forgiveness. Let's not leave it at the law. The old Adam can't stand the gospel either, because of course we know that forgiveness must be conditional, that everything is a bargain. That's how religions work, you know. And so this idea that God forgives the sinner unconditionally and justifies the ungodly for Christ's sake, for the sake of another, that's unacceptable. In fact, that's bad for morals right there. In fact, the whole idea of Christ is something, because the old Adam wants to be God. That's the big lie, the deception. You can be like God. And so the old Adam doesn't like competition. And so the last thing our old Adam, our sinful nature, wants is for our eyes to get off of ourselves and get out of ourselves and get onto Christ. And so anything that looks external, objective, anything that says, never mind how you feel, this is how it is. The body and blood of Christ, the Lord's Supper, you know, never mind how you feel about it, this is what it is. Holy baptism, not as something we do, but as something that God does on us, marking us, claiming us as his own, rebirthing us, renewing us. No, in fact, if anything else, we're going to turn the tables on that and make this something that we whip up for ourselves, something that we do. So basically, I would say anything that causes us to take our attention away from ourselves and onto Christ is something the old Adam would just as soon do an end around at the table. And go for the things that are more self-affirming, you know, the things that say, deep down, you're a good person. Deep down, you have all you have the secret, you have the knowledge, you have the strength, you have everything you need to be successful, to be healthy and wealthy and wise and loved and everything else. You just have to pull the strings the right way. That's where he heads for. The dessert aisle, if you will, but they're not even good desserts. They're bad desserts.
What gets me, I remember used to sometimes go over to big gigantic grocery store for lunch hour and they would have their the expansive salad bar, and you see this thing sitting there in the cold section there, sitting back there in the salad section, looks like crab meat, kind of smells like crab meat. You put it on your plate, you taste it, and you quickly realize
that ain't crab meat.
This isn't crab meat. This is something else. I don't know what it is, but I guess it will do because it didn't cost me what crab meat would cost me. Talk about the things that are in the spiritual buffet that are counterfeits, that are the fakes.
Yeah, that's right. The counterfeit foods. You know, of course, if you're going to turn away from the real deal, the baptism, the body and blood, the genuine gospel of unconditional forgiveness, then it becomes kind of the stuff that it sort of looks right or sounds right in the sense that it has a lot of God talk. But if you listen very closely, it's not God the crucified one. It's not God the one bearing your sins. It's not the one that bleeds, but rather it's the kindly therapist in heaven, or this great majestic power that we, lucky us, have the privilege of tapping into, or something like that. You know, in other words, it's the God who kind of deals with us on our terms, not the God who demands that we deal with him on his terms. but the God that deals with us on our terms. And literally, if you want to know what that looks like, it's Israel down at the foot of Mount Sinai, kind of having lost patience with Moses and that God up there on the mountain who's just thundering away and doing all kinds of stuff. And they say to Aaron, kind of build us a God down here that we can kind of cozy up to, you know, make us a golden bull and we'll have a party. So it's and it's the God who blesses the party, our party, not his party, our party, which turns out to be an inverted, rather perverted version of what a marriage feast ought to look like.
When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about whether or not the church has done itself any favors by de-emphasizing doctrine. I mean, I've called it doctrinal minimalism. Others will say deeds, not creeds. It's not unusual at all in American Christianity to hear a preacher, well, he does. He'll just downplay doctrine, or he'll even say it might even be harmful to you as a Christian. But without doctrine, there's no real discernment, not the kind that Pastor Bill Swirla says we need as we observe this buffet of beliefs. Before we finish, we really need to deal with the fact of whether or not Christians ought to be in the buffet line at all, or should we be someplace altogether different, waiting for service of a meal from someone who didn't ask us what we wanted, but is giving us, in fact, exactly what we need. We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 5th of June. What kind of questions, comments, perhaps even stories do you have about buffet spirituality? Perhaps you were, or maybe still are, one of those people going down the line with your little tray, filling up your plate, ready at the end to enjoy your buffet, just what you picked out. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-IE. This break is a great time to call. Or send us an email right here in the studio. We get them in real time. Talk back at issuesetc.org or a tweet at IssuesETC. Our guest is Pastor Bill Swirla, co-host of the weekly internet radio show called The God Whispers. You can check it out under the Listen On Demand page at IssuesETC.org. Look for The God Whispers. Click Listen On Demand. We'll be right back.
Bring all the lovers to the fold, 'cause no one is gonna lose their soul.
South Africa,
China,
Germany,
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world? India,
Sweden, Egypt,
France, Turkey,
Japan, Australia,
Canada, United Kingdom, Hong Kong,
Austria, Finland, Malaysia,
Singapore, Bulgaria,
Korea, Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines,
Mexico,
Spain,
New Zealand,
Kuwait.
The cross is our theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska. Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota. Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado. And Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. IssuesETC.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Never been a sinner. I never sinned. I got a friend in Jesus. So you know that when I die.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking about religious pluralism. Pastor Bill Swirla is our guest. See what Mark has to say. He's calling from his car. Mark, thanks for waiting on the line.
Pastor Todd, I didn't come up with this, but what you're basically talking about is Calvin Ball, which is from a comic strip called Calvin and Hobbes, and it was a game with no set rules, and the rules could change at any moment to the advantage of the players, and that was the game. And that seems to me what you're basically talking about.
Mark, thanks a lot. Pastor Swirla, what do you make of it?
Yeah, we played that a lot in the kids' backyard when we were growing up. If you didn't like the score, you changed the rules. Old Adam doesn't like rules. In fact, rules tend to mortify our sinful nature. They, the law always accuses, the law always kills. And so whenever the old Adam hears no, that just kills him. And that's really part of the problem is that the divine nutritionist is basically saying, look, not everything on this table is good for you. In fact, you eat some of this stuff, it'll kill you. On the day you eat of it, you will surely die. And what we would like to do is we'd like to sort of bend the rules, break the rules, rewrite the rules, basically so that, what we can have what we want, when we want it, how we want it. And that really, I think that really appeals to our, not only our sinful nature, but just our own rugged individualism.
You start your article by talking about something that pollster George Barna discovered and put into a recent book, Future Cast, where he talks about this kind of buffet of beliefs, and he bemoans it. I mean, he sees it as a problem, but the irony here is, and I'm sure you'd agree, that guys like Barna and those who have paid special attention, followed his dictates for the church for the last 25 years, have kind of created this problem by de-emphasizing the church's doctrine. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Barna is very useful and needs to be listened to as one who's got his finger on the pulse. It's a question of diagnosis and prescription. I think he's seeing some of the symptoms. I don't think the diagnosis goes quite deep enough, and the prescription is off the mark. It ends up actually intensifying the condition or making things worse. The patient becomes worse rather than better. Doctrine, I think, is key. Doctrine is the rules that caller Mark was talking about, is that there are fences to this playground. And I think one of the problems that we've had, we're kind of a doctrinal group, we Lutherans, but we're a little bit like a restaurant where they don't put out a menu. We actually put out the recipes on the table, and we recite recipes to people, and we expect that to stimulate their appetite. Doctrine is the recipes. Doctrine is not the food, and that's the problem. You got to adhere to the recipe for the food to be right, for the food to be palatable, for the food to be what people need to hear. But that's not what you. There's a difference between a recipe and a menu. And I think there's a difference between talking about the gospel of Jesus and actually proclaiming the gospel of Jesus, that, in Christ you are forgiven. You are forgiven without any ifs, ands, or buts about it. I think we sometimes make the mistake of doing too much talking about and not enough actual talking of what God in Christ is doing for you. That is the person I am talking to. And as a result, we end up kind of reciting recipes rather than actually delivering food.
So, but we have to have both. Talk, if you would, about the safeguard that exists, that has existed for the church in its creeds, in its confessions, even in its historic liturgy, against just, I'm going to pick and choose what I want to believe.
Well, the church had to deal with this very early on. I mean, if you look at the New Testament, you see this beginning to happen. It becomes very explicit in the pastoral epistles in 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, where Paul's exhorting Timothy to stick to the pattern of sound words. And he's warning them about some of these encroaching spiritualities. This would later come to full flower as Gnosticism, but you already see it, like in 1 Timothy. You see these early influences where things are spiritualized, there's strange diets, people are diminishing the importance of marriage and things like that. And Paul addresses all of these things, but it's very important that the pattern of sound words be adhered to, or Jude reminds the believers that what they believe is an objective thing. The faith once once delivered to the saints. You know, faith doesn't just simply believe or emote. Faith believes something, that there's an objective thing. And you know, over the ensuing centuries, that became our creeds. All the pattern of those words is already in the script, in the New Testament scriptures. And these are really a gift. They're not intended to take all the fun out of things, or they're not intended to, you know, just basically arbitrarily restrict what people believe, but they're really warding us off of potentially dangerous things on that buffet. See, the thing is, it's not like Hometown Buffet or some of these other places where all the food basically meets health requirements. You have in the buffet table of religion, you have poison on there. You have mushrooms you don't know about. You know, you have things on there that will kill you if you eat it. And the whole point is these doctrinal standards are standards that protect us from ourselves and protect us sometimes from our ignorance too. So they give us some handy measures and rules by which we can look at things and discern what is good for us and what isn't.
We began by saying, look, we're not talking about being ideologically or theologically isolated from all these beliefs, but we ought to be aware of them, know that they are there, understand them as insofar as we can. At the same time, Bill, does Christianity simply say, okay, we're going to rent a section in the buffet, and we're going to do our best to kind of hawk our wares there, and just hope that people pick enough of what we've got that they don't end up in hell? Or is there someplace else where Christianity can be served, so to speak, that isn't the buffet line?
Well, I think it's probably way beyond time to abandon the metaphor, but you know, man prepares a buffet. Let's face it, no self-respecting chef is going to cook a buffet line. That's not going to happen. God prepares a feast. It's man that tries to turn the feast into a buffet line. And I think once we see that, we have to turn our back on that way of looking at beliefs and really look at what God has done. What God has done is he sent his Son incarnate. He's prepared the world for centuries before that through his chosen nation, Israel. And he's at work preparing this feast, and it is a feast of salvation that's delivered in baptism, in the preaching of his word, the law and the gospel, in the body and blood of Christ. He prepares this table for us in the presence of our enemies, sin, death, hell, the devil. And it's really looking to God, both as chef and nutritionist, to recognize that he's the one who made us, he's the one who redeems us, he's the one who makes us holy. He knows what's good for us, and to look to his Son Christ, who has come to deliver these gifts to us. So the church is actually not a place at a buffet of religion. The church is a feast. And it's the feast that God prepares, and it's really the alternative to man's buffet of religions. But it's kind of abandoning the whole religion thing entirely and saying, come and receive what my Son has died and risen to win for you.
Pastor Bill Swirla is pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California. He's co-host of the weekly internet radio show called The God Whisperers, author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness titled Believe It Your Way. Bill, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd.
Thanks to Trinity and Emmanuel Lutheran Churches in Holloway, Minnesota. Pastor John Klatt is there. They voted recently to join the Issues Etc. 300. That's our congregational sponsorship program. Congregations, a growing group of congregations that have decided to include Issues Etc. in their mission or advertising budget, making Issues Etc. part of their mission activity as well by committing to $1,000 or more in their budget to support Issues Etc. That makes your congregation part of the Issues Etc. 300. If your congregation isn't part of it, you can find out how your congregation can become part of it, mindful of a July 1st deadline that many congregations have as they set their budgets for the following fiscal year. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support. You'll find a one-page flyer there that will tell you and your congregation everything you need to know about joining the Issues Etc. 300. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Pastor Lucas Woodford about the emergent church movement. Also tomorrow, we'll begin a four-part daily series on the Athanasian Creed with Pastor Will Whedon. Then on Thursday, we'll kick off a three-part series with Ken Samples on the Christian worldview, ideas that change the world. So come away from the buffet. First of all, you're not qualified to decide what's good for you. You're not qualified to pick out something that will sustain you spiritually. You will always choose the wrong thing if left to your own devices. You will choose what you want, not what you need. You will choose what proves ultimately deadly to you, not what sustains life and gives life. Come away from the buffet to the table of Christ, where he not only gives us what we need, he gives us what saves us. It's not what we would choose. It's not what we would pick out. It is not even something in our natural discernment that we would find palatable, but it is, in fact, his feast. The feast of salvation, of forgiveness of sins, of his life laid down for us at the cross and taken up again. There will be parts of it that you find distasteful, I can guarantee you. When you hear Christ preaching through his church to you that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, you won't like what it tastes like, I can guarantee you, but it is good food. When you hear that this means repentance, death to self, so that Christ's life might be given to you, you might not like the way that tastes either, but it is the very food of heaven that God is serving to you. When you hear that you are saved solely by God's work and not at all by yours, you might at first turn up your nose. But it is, in fact, the most sumptuous feast of God's grace to know that the salvation you have through Jesus Christ is all of Christ and none of you, and that it all depends on him and none at all on you. Now, there's hope and there's certainty, there's assurance there. The greatest of feasts. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
How does the church year teach us the fundamental narratives of salvation's story? The Issues Etc. book of the month for June is Ordering Our Days in His Peace, An Introduction to the Church Year. It's written by regular guest Pastor Heath Curtis. You can check out Ordering Our Days in His Peace at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase our book of the month by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Ordering Our Days in His Peace.
Yes, there is a Messiah in Seattle. Messiah Lutheran Church and Concordia Lutheran School have served North Seattle for over 60 years, and we invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 8 and 10:45 with Bible study at 9:20. Messiah Seattle is proud to support Issues Etc. To learn more, watch our adult information class videos online or on DVD. Our website is messiahseattle.org, 206-524-0024.